The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, shout out to my dad today. He has a birthday. I know he likes to listen in, so I hope that he'll get this message. And also, just to start with a little bit of sports stuff, because I know that, you know, we just had Louis, and fortunately you've managed to give the answer to the question. But just a very quick mention of an unlikely sport and an unlikely Israeli sportsman in the form of Mitch Feinsilver, who got a bronze medal in the recent wrestling tournament. It's one of these very, very prestige wrestling tournaments that was held in Nice in France over the weekend, and he won the bronze medal in the 74-kilogram weight class. It's been a long time since an Israeli wrestler actually won any medals in an international competition, and there is some hope that Mitch Feinsilver, who, by the way, wrestled for Duke University, is formerly American, comes from a wrestling family, that he may well even have an opportunity to wrestle at the rescheduled Olympic Games.
That is incredible. That is really amazing. And they say we are lovers, not fighters. I don't know. I think we've been doing pretty well in some of those sports. Israel will be watching the inauguration of the U.S. president today with some interest and possibly trepidation. What are the major concerns about President-elect Biden for Israel?
Well, I think that for starters, President-elect Biden comes with either the burden or alternatively the credit of having been part of the Obama administration, depending on which angle you look at things from. From an Israeli angle, I would suggest that the Obama administration wasn't one of the most successful partnerships that Israel has had with the United States. There were certainly some very, very difficult moments during those 8 years that President Obama was there. And of course, Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden, is very much associated with that period of U.S. politics until such time that he can create a history for himself, until he can assert himself in the White House. So it's not exactly clear what we can expect from Biden, having been through the Trump era. And by the way, history is going to be judging Israel's relationship with the Trump era, I think, in a very interesting way, because on the one hand, Israelis would say Trump has been very good for Israel, that we've moved the embassy to Jerusalem, that we've managed to get all of these peace agreements in place during the Trump administration period, that Israel's position on the world stage has been altered, has been changed in a good way. And most of that is because the U.S. administration has been willing to stand up and potentially take exactly the same position, for example, with the UN Human Rights Council and with certain the issues relating to Iran, that on the international stage, the U.S. has been very, very strongly supportive of the Israeli position and has really strengthened the Israeli position. The problem, of course, is that I'm not sure that the Trump era will necessarily be positively judged in general, and Israel's close association with that period may well provide some challenging times for Israel and for the way that Israel is perceived in the international community when things are judged from a slight distance, slightly from afar. But certainly the issues that Israel will be looking to see on Joe Biden's agenda relate to the status of the embassy in Jerusalem, relate to the way in which Iran's nuclear program will be treated over the next 4 years, relate to the way in which the Palestinian issue will be dealt with, relate to the way in which Israel is treated in general in the international community, be it at the United Nations or any of those other international bodies. I think the one relatively pleasing positive note that has been sounded ahead of the inauguration today is that the Secretary of State-elect Antony Blinken has made clear that the Biden administration will not reverse the Trump decision to relocate the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem is Israel's capital and the embassy will remain there. That's at least in the words of Antony Blinken, who is due to be elected, to be appointed as Secretary of State later today. So it's going to be interesting to see. In general, I think all eyes will be on Capitol Hill today, at that inauguration and just to see how potentially things will change over the course of the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, it is fascinating, but certainly the comments that I've been following from Antony Blinken over the last couple of days are actually quite positive in terms of saying he's not moving the embassy, in terms of talking about consulting Israel on the Iranian deal. And supporting the Mike Pompeo's findings around the Chinese genocide of the Uyghur Muslims. So I thought those were some very important comments that I'd heard, and certainly gave me a little bit of hope. Israel's lockdown has been extended until the end of January. Any changes to the restrictions?
Well, first of all, the numbers just continue to, unfortunately, to grow dramatically, both on a good and on a bad scale. More than 10,000 new virus carriers were diagnosed over the last 24 hours, which is a new record and something which is extremely concerning. Still, so many people in hospital on respirators, so many people having to be treated for emergency treatment for the effects of the virus. Having said that, the government has decided to lock down, continue the current lockdown status at least until the end of January, and I feel that it may well be even beyond that point. We will wait and see. There is a new restriction on people who enter Israel from abroad. Everybody is now required to have those that negative test at least 72 hours before they travel to Israel. An interesting statistic that was mentioned by the coronavirus commissioner is that between 30% and 40% of current cases that are seen in Israel are infected with a strain which comes from a certain European country that recently left the European Union. We don't want to mention names in order to necessarily tar them with negativity, but this new variant that has come around that has been very, very aggressive. Apparently, a large number of those suffering in Israel today are showing signs of that particular variant, which is somewhat concerning given the nature of that variant. But on the other hand, on the good side, the vaccination program is continuing unabated, and there is an intention to try to administer as many as 250,000 vaccinations each day moving forward, and that apparently 186,000 vaccinations were administered yesterday. So still the hope that somehow once this vaccination program really takes hold, that we're going to see a completely different environment. Unfortunately, right now, this new wave has come just probably 3 to 4 weeks too early for us to see any noticeable impact of the vaccination program. Pfizer apparently is continuing to provide something like between 400 and 700,000 doses of vaccine each week to Israel in exchange for that clinical information, the test, the trial information that is being sent to Pfizer to let them understand what impact the vaccinations have been having on Israelis, how people have been responding. I've certainly seen more than anecdotal evidence that the second dose of the vaccine is more severe to people than the first. People really feel unwell for a day or two. Excuse me. After having had the second vaccination, people feel with quite strong flu-y symptoms and things like that. But after that, people are getting over it. And hopefully that vaccination will have its impact. Of course, lots of memes out there in the public about sharing this information with Pfizer, what it really means. A very, very funny video clip that I saw where a couple meet together for the first time after having met online. And the man says to the woman, "I know all about you through whatever the information is that's been provided to Pfizer." And then a third party walks into the room and he starts to talk about them, each of their medical histories, both the male and the woman. Quite a funny clip, but just to try and show that people are feeling a little sensitive,
a little uncomfortable,
about what information is being shared with Pfizer at the moment.
Yeah, and I saw a report in Times of Israel that Israeli virus czar says that the first dose has been less effective than Pfizer had originally indicated.
So I'm not really sure what impact the first dose was really expected to have. It was always very clear that one dose was not going to be enough. At one point, just for a few days, there was some consideration to not administering the second dose at all in order to try and get more people vaccinated with a limited stock of vaccine that was available. That idea was quickly shunted out of the door and completely left behind. So I think that it is pretty clear to all of us that two doses are required before we can expect to see any noticeable immunization against the virus. And that's certainly proven to be the case. I'm not quite sure what the expectation was about one dose without the second one being administered.
I don't know either. But that was a report that we are seeing. An Israeli company was listed on NASDAQ on Friday, and that's with a value of $11 billion US dollars. Which company is this, Anthony?
Well, by the time we have come around to talk about Playticker, it's already worth $13 billion on NASDAQ. Such has been the growth of its share price since it was listed on Friday. It has really surprised a lot of people. Playticker is an Israeli-based mobile gaming company. Who would imagine that a mobile gaming company would be worth $11 billion? But that is the situation. A company that was founded in 2000 by someone whose name has become synonymous with massive success in this particular market, Robert Antokol, and he founded this company with Uri Shachak. They started working in an office above a laundromat, employing 10 people, and has today become the largest Israeli gaming company to be listed on NASDAQ, employs 3,700 people, and it has representation in 19 countries around the world. And ultimately, Robert is saying that he would like Playticker to become the largest gaming company in the world. And it's just astonishing that this is what a mobile gaming company can become. Robert, by the way, is someone who made Aliyah from Latvia, came to Israel at the age of 6, settled in a northern Israeli country, a northern Israeli city. And he is a great example of massive success that's been brought not only for himself and for his family, but for the state of Israel as well, from someone who made Aliyah at a young age to come and make their home in Israel.
Incredible. Louis says, history will judge Israel's relationship with Trump harshly and rightly so. And Jenny says, it sounds a bit like Pfizer is running the human trials in Israel, and also how is Rabbi Lau?
So there are people who think that Pfizer is running human trials in Israel. I mean, having said that, obviously the Pfizer vaccine did go through the necessary procedures to be approved by not only by the FDA in the USA, but also by various authorities in Europe. The Israeli authorities very frequently look towards other approval regulatory bodies for their approval, so they don't necessarily run massive trials in Israel before granting their own approval. Very frequently they say, well, if it's approved by the FDA and with one or two little changes or exceptions or little tests that need to be done locally, we would approve that. And that's pretty much what happened with Pfizer. But there is no doubt that a massive trial is being run in Israel, and I think quite justifiably. I don't have any issue with being made to look or feel like a lab rat, because I think we are going down a certain risk path, which to me looks like it's a calculated risk, in the sense that doing nothing would not be a good result. We already know where that's taking us to. We've been there over the last year. So here we have to really do something. And the question is, do we wait and see what other people are doing, or do we just jump into the water and try and do it ourselves on the basis of what Pfizer have given us? And I personally think that this is the right approach to take.
I definitely do.
History will judge that in an interesting way as well.
There's no doubt.
Update on Rabbi Lau. I haven't heard any update from him. We certainly haven't heard that his situation has worsened, at least that. So as soon as we hear a little bit more, I certainly will provide an update about his situation.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.